From today's Bible readings, one thing is clear, that the lectionary's overall perspective on the Easter season is that the biblical traditions about Easter and its proclamation are not all about victory, joy, celebration, and rejoicing, but also to ponder upon the risks, the dangers involved if we live a faithful Christian life. For example, Stephen's story constructs a grim memorial to remind us that the stakes are high. The story of Stephen gives us much to consider, lest we forget the atrocities that are part of the Christian legacy, those inflicted upon people of faith. Stephen is traditionally known as the church's first martyr, the first person to die as a consequence of professing faith in Jesus. And I guess we all know St. Stephen's Day is on the 26th December, and for that reason, I guess, it often gets overlooked. So I thought that today would be a good opportunity to remind ourselves of the story of Stephen, who he was and how he became the first Christian martyr, and learn from him. And martyr, incidentally, means witness. And perhaps, as we follow Stephen's story, we will remember that he was the first Christian whose witness to Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, brought about his death, not on a cross, but under a hail of stones and rocks. I think a little bit background will help us understand the whole story of Stephen. In the early life of the Christian church, all the followers of Jesus attended temple, daily worship. They are taught by the 12 apostles, break bread and pray together. But it isn't long before a dispute arises over the distribution of food. The apostles appointed 7 deacons full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom to sort this out and ensure that the food was distributed fairly and equally. This is when we meet Stephen for the first time in the book of Acts of the Apostles. He and Philip are 2 of the 7, but we don't hear anything else about the other 5 except for their names. By comparison, the writer, St. Luke, only names the others without further comment. Let's take that to mean Stephen was especially gifted. He stood out above the others. He was exemplary. By the grace of God, he showed greater or superior promise. But remember, with promise comes the price. His gifts were not for privilege, but service. He was elected to help distribute food, to care for widows and orphans, and we hear no more about the dispute over the distribution of food. The point is, whatever your gifts are, they come from God the Father, and they are to be used for the common good, for God's glory. Underlying this is a simple equation. The greater the gift, the greater the responsibility to use it faithfully. And Jesus said, to whom much was entrusted, to him more will be asked. And I think I won't be wrong by saying that His Majesty King Charles III, after his coronation yesterday, has higher responsibilities as a king. Now, people of his nation and the Commonwealth have more expectations from him than before. The greater the privilege, the greater the responsibility. So we move further in the story of Stephen and with his ministry. St. Luke describes him as a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And further, he says Stephen performed greater signs and wonders. He goes out teaching and preaching in synagogues where the Jews are Greek-speaking, and speaks with power and authority that cannot be denied. He was well-versed in the Torah and Jewish history. When it came to Jesus, he was uncompromising. That Jesus was from his Messiah. No two ways about it. He was uncompromising. That led to a problem. Charges of blasphemy were brought against him, as Luke tells us. When we become a witness for Christ, and when you face people from different faiths, different traditions, where do we stand? When these charges were brought against Stephen, he launched into a long and powerful speech. Not in his defense, but as it turned out, Stephen compared Israel's repeated disobedience in the past to the nations then reception of the Messiah. This made the members of the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court of the Jews, so angry that they cast him out of the city and stoned him. A very cruel punishment and a terrible way to die. This is the point at which our reading from Acts began this morning. Had Stephen been less gifted, he wouldn't have been noticed. Had he been less outspoken, he would have never posed a threat to anyone. But he would have never made a difference. And he would have never fulfilled God's will for his life. He never stops bearing witness to Jesus. He does so up to his dying breath. In an extraordinary way, Stephen shows forth Christ through the grace he exhibits, both praying for his murderers, his killers, as Jesus did, and likewise dying faithfully. And Jesus brings him comfort. That's the beautiful thing, even as his life comes to a terrifying end. Luke says that being filled with the Spirit, he gazed up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus not sitting but standing at the right hand of God, as if Jesus himself was testifying on his behalf. Scholars ponder why Jesus was standing rather than sitting. Earlier Jesus said, from now on the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand power of God. This is the only time in Scripture that Jesus is depicted as standing at God's right hand. Perhaps Jesus, knowing that Stephen was about to be martyred, stood to welcome him into heaven. Standing is a sign of respect. In the midst of all the suffering you and I must bear in this world, we can take comfort in knowing that glory awaits the faithful. In our epistle this morning, believers are called to hope. It is because Jesus Christ himself is the living cornerstone of God that all those who are united to him participate in his resurrection life. The participation starts here and now and continues after death. Peter's encouragement to them and to us is that of resurrection shaped hope. It's a hope in divine love that is stronger than death itself. In the deaths of Stephen and of countless other early martyrs, we see the fruit of lives. The blood of these martyrs was described by Tertullian as the seed of the early church. The death of Stephen also holds the seed of at least two other stories which are about to begin. First of all, this triggers a severe persecution of the followers of Jesus, which results in arrest and imprisonment for many. It also sends the followers of Jesus out of Jerusalem to some far-off places where they preach and teach the good news so that the church begins to spread. And I was just comparing this with the war in Ukraine. People from Ukraine have gone all the corners of the world. And many of them, they are good believers. Some of them have joined us. They will spread the good news. Wherever they will go, they will carry with them that light of the gospel. Secondly, there is a young man called Saul of Tarsus who guards the courts of the people throwing stones and who accused of this execution. As we know, Saul becomes a particularly pure, ferocious persecutor of Christians until he travels along the Damascus road. He then becomes Paul and takes the gospel far and wide, preaching not just to Jews, but also to Gentiles. Lord Jesus transformed him into the greatest evangelist the world has ever known. Here is what we learn from St. Stephen. Perhaps it was Stephen, his assurance of faith, his conviction, his words, his vision, and his willingness to forgive his enemies, who sparked off in Saul the thought that maybe, just maybe, Jesus was, in fact, the way, the truth, and the life. Your witness can bring someone to Christ. In imitation of the Savior, even as Stephen was being stoned, while he was still able to speak, he forgave those who were killing him. This is the lesson we are to learn. In like manner, are we especially to pray for those who have done us wrong? That's the hardest part. Who are doing us wrong? The most difficult thing. Friends, the greater need in our world today is forgiveness. When we forgive, two ways. It helps the one who forgives and the one who is forgiven. Stephen also teaches us in a remarkable way how the early Christians loved Christ with all their hearts, even wanting to die for him. And what is most remarkable about Stephen's love for Jesus is the fact that from all evidence we have, he had never met the Master. He had never seen Jesus physically. This love was all the fruit of that Holy Spirit promised by the Savior once Jesus had gone to his Father. We have the assurance, therefore, that we too can love Jesus Christ deeply and can love him even to dying for him. Even though we have never seen him in the flesh. Because the love of Christ is the love of the Spirit. St. Stephen was, as the church called him, the proto-martyr. The proto-martyr. That means more than just the first martyr chronologically. Proto means that he is the prototype of what every follower of Christ ought to be. One who is so deeply in love with Jesus that she or he is willing and more than willing to die for the one whom she or he loves. And as we know, the hardest part of dying for Christ is living for Him. Is that dying life which is so costly. May God help us how to love and follow Christ by living a dying life for the one whom we say we love. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.